Bye!
Inside the park.
Welcome to Inside the Park on the RFG Network. How you guys doing? This is Hammer and Hank with Inside the Park Baseball. I'm Hank Davis, and along with my partner Carl, the Hammer Hampton. Carl, how you doing tonight, bro?
Doing well, bro.
Good.
Safe and well, bro.
All right, good. You know what? We got a chance to talk a little bit of baseball this evening, man. It's so much been going on. If y'all been checking our One Mic show on where we're at, but we get a chance to kind of take a deep breath if we can and talk a little bit about baseball and with stuff that's going on the diamond. Now, I know last time we had a show, I know Hammer, you wanted to talk a little bit about free agency, but let's just kind of like get the folks a little bit of update on what's going on with baseball. So what say you at this point?
Well, I mean, people are saying it's a PR debacle, but I'm going to take the stand that I'm proud of the players. The players understand the long game in this.
Mm-hmm.
They understand if they capitulate to the owners, they're going to have a salary cap, but they're going to lose money. And the bottom line is that as far as revenues have gone up, I think for owners, 300% or something, where players has only been like 10% or something. So the bottom line is it's not equity in this. Mm-hmm. So they're going to demonize the players and say, how dare you during the middle of a pandemic and people going to work, you know, how you can't take a prorated salary. But they're thinking the long game. Like my late mother was part of the Chicago Public School Union, which is the most powerful union in the country. And they struck. And there were times where she was at home for weeks at a time getting no pay for the long game, which was getting her pension and had great pension. So I respect the players as far as the long game goes.
Right.
They had a contract with the owners. Honor the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell me you're going to go broke or these things, biblical proportions or what the Ricketts have said. You're not going to go broke.
Let me ask you this real quick, though, because I'm with you as far as, you know, siding with the players. You got a contract. Let's not use the pandemic as a crutch on why you don't want to pay me. I'm all for that. But let me ask you this, as far as revenues are concerned, because see, the way they're talking about it, it seems to me like baseball would be able to be seen by more people who wouldn't see it because of the pandemic, because there's some folks that are still going to be afraid to go outside, but the games are going to be on. And let's not fool ourselves. There's not a whole lot to watch. So if you got baseball out there, this is the one monopoly. Don't you think that baseball would be looking for it? I think, and don't you think that the owners see this and they see this as a potential cash cow?
They do. And that's why they have that provision, Brother Hank, where they can institute a season when they want to, if the players turn it down. So they have some great lawyers on their side that look out for their interest as far as it goes. So if the owners look out for their interest as far as making sure baseball is going to be played, no matter how short the season is, the players need to look out for their best interest as far as their money. And also look, and this is again a setup for really 2021. And so again, I respect the players for playing the long game. And yes, they're going to get demonized in a pandemic, but the long game is also look at the free agency game as well. They have shut basically the free agency market down, where you really have it's like America. You got the have and have nots. You got all these players with big money. You have very few, quote, middle class or middle players in a profession that with 5 or 6 years as far as in the major leagues. And that's not counting the minor leagues. You have to toll in to get to the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear you about that, but that's the short game. That's the player. That's the owner game. Yeah.
Okay.
Baseball should be able to kill. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, baseball should be killing right now. But people are watching Korean baseball. I know it's getting ratings because ESPN wouldn't be having it on it, you know, preempting Good Up and a lot of other stuff, taking on Mike and Mike. People are watching Korean baseball. Trust me.
Right, right.
I don't know what the ratings are, but they have to be watching Korean baseball. So they don't really want to watch some American baseball. But
right. That
tells me again, the players are playing chess and playing checkers. They're thinking long-term instead of short-term.
So my question to you is this, though. Let's play devil's advocate a little bit. If I'm an owner and I'm watching okay, Korean baseball is getting ratings, right? So let's play power play with the players. Let's force the union's hand. Let's say the players, you know, we're going to strike this. We're not going to adhere to this. Now the owners do what they did several years ago when the players struck. They went and got minor leaguers to fill teams and play because they know that people will watch anything. I get to save a little bit of money. I can pass it off as baseball. You don't care because you watch anything. And I still get the same revenue. Now you're not watching Mike Trout, but I don't have to worry about you going to the ballpark because you wasn't going anyway. It's on TV. So what you gonna watch? What do you say about that?
No, the players are organized enough where if they tried to do replacement baseball like the NFL did, it'd be a boomerang on them. Even though these players are not, like I said, like we laughed about a couple weeks ago, and Mike Trout walked down Michigan Avenue, they wouldn't know him from Adam, yeah. But mm-hmm. The bottom line is that the players know they have power, and they would bandy about and make sure, and also these replacement players would know too as well that like the replacement players that happen in the NFL, that they'll get beamed or something happen, a hard slide, or they'll be blackballed for the rest of their career, and the union will blackball them. I guarantee you, they will not be part of the union. They will make sure they're not part of the union. And so, like I said, again, it goes to the strength of the baseball union is the most powerful. I give them credit for it. They're setting themselves up because I think that, you know, I see a salary cap coming, but it's got to be a salary cap with a ceiling and with a floor. Mm-hmm. So people aren't spending like $10 million on a team to build up a team. So yeah, but the bottom line is that I see your devil's advocate, but again, it goes back to the fact that the union is king in this. And if they're going to tell you, be a replacement player, but you'll never be part of the union. Like Sean Payton was never part of the union when he was a replacement player for Chicago Bears. And those benefits of the union are, especially in a sport where you only have 5 years and you're out, that's going to be key. So,
Okay. So let me ask you this. So you want to talk about free agency a little bit. I want to kind of go back to the salary cap piece, where they've got to have a ceiling. They got to have a floor. Now, last time you and I spoke, we went at length about the length of the season. Do you think does this benefit baseball to bring more parity with the salary cap? Because and the reason why I asked, now I want you to think about it a little bit, because baseball is not an exact science as football or even basketball, where some of these players need time to develop. All right, so how do you see this working in baseball?
It's going to work because that's one of the problems with baseball is that a lot of people think that they're when the first pitch is thrown on Sunday night, that, you know, it didn't happen this year because of the pandemic, their team's already out of it. So because of lack of resources. So if you had a salary cap, I think there'll be more equity of resources. There'll be more spending. People have to spend, especially if you have a floor, they have to spend a certain amount of money on free agents. They've been able to depress the free agent market because there's no salary cap and because there's no floor. And so it'll stop the Yankees of the world and, you know, Angels from these spending sprees. And I think that's what you need to do for baseball. And so to have equity, because that's the problem. Not only it's people talk about the pace of the game for the millennials and the Gen X's, but but it's also the fact that people don't see as competitive, that most of only about 4 or 5 teams or so really have a legitimate chance to win all every year because of lack of resources. And, you know, people aren't playing Moneyball. And, you know, Moneyball is great, but have the A's won a championship since Moneyball is instituted? No.
Nope. Have they won one, period?
Yeah, exactly. They have one period. They've won divisions and wild cards, but that's nothing. That's a period victory.
Right.
The key is winning the championship. So
help me understand how you think this will work with international players. You know, you had players like Tanaka and like the player in California, I mean, with the Angels, that the big money teams, the big money markets can just throw a ton of money at that. How do you incorporate that piece into a salary cap? And how do you incorporate those players when it comes to not playing in our system any at all. But so that do they become part of the draft, or how do they do it? Because they're already professional players, so they're quote unquote free agents. So how does that
become part of the draft? Because the NBA players are professional players, and yet you know Giannis was a professional player before he was drafted. RJ Hampton, who skipped college, he's a professional player in Australia, so it's the same thing. So it's not different that, again, these international players, I mean, they're scouted the same way. They're not.
So baseball, so you're saying that baseball is applying it differently. Baseball is applying it.
They're applying it differently because they know that this is, again, the have and have nots. They know that the teams with money can get these Dominican camps, and they have the Sammy Sosa of the world at 13 years old and groom them and get them ready for the major leagues, where, you know, a small market team like Milwaukee back in the day before couldn't do that, or would get some, you know, the worst players. So, again, they're scouting all day. They got scouts for a reason, Brother Hank. And so you right. can have a draft with international players. It's, the sliding system is really ridiculous. They did with brother with the Cubs, come to my mind. My goodness, it'll come to my mind in a second. The brother that he coached, he was with the Texas Rangers, and big right-hander, Hugh Darvish.
Okay,
Hugh Darvish. Hugh Darvish, perfect example. He should be a part of an international draft, not a slot where they gave him a whole bunch of money. And you know, same thing with Abreu. They're bastardizing the system. And
exactly.
Now, the scouts had better be right on these, because when you slide a player like, all these players, dude from the Angels, for instance, you better make sure they hit, because if they don't, you're going to be gone.
Right.
But that's where I think even it'd be better for them to be in a draft situation, because you're not putting as much money on the line. You have to slot them, even though they do project, and they'll go to the minor leagues for a little while, like Ken Griffey Jr., and then come up in 19 or come up first, whatever their age are, come up after 1 year, and or they'll go straight to the major leagues like Jim Abbott, you know, something like that. So
because I'm looking at it with international baseball, that if those players don't declare that they're going to play in the major leagues, they can't be part of a draft. So they have to absolutely declare first that they're going to do that. That's like with Darvish.
I can't say that, because look at, I mean, there's players that you can draft. Their draft eligibility can depend on, yeah, you can have where you can opt in, but you also can be where they're draft eligible by rule, and therefore it doesn't matter if they declare or not. They're eligible for the draft. They can be drafted. And there's precedent for that back in the old days, like Larry Bird, for instance. He was drafted as Indiana State player because he was eligible, but they changed that rule in NBA. But I would change the rule where they're eligible, so they wouldn't play a game as far as I'm going to enter the draft when I want to, or something like that. So yeah. So
I mean, baseball allows that for high schoolers. I mean, they can be drafted while they're still in high school and be drafted while they're still in college.
Precisely. Yeah.
But this doesn't happen for international players unless they say we're going to play.
Yeah, and then they make them
a free agent. You see what I'm saying?
And then they get a crazy bunch of money. No, so again, it's equitable. Then all the teams will be able to get international players, and the international players will not be able to use a monopoly. And again, yeah, it's shown that these players are worth the money when they come in the sliding system, and because they're heavily scouted. Like we talked about this a couple weeks ago, you don't have these brothers that are coming in the draft and not getting out A ball after being the fifth pick. You don't see anymore. People are hitting on these picks because jobs are on the line, playing something.
Right. So if you're an international player, okay, you're talking about a process that's going to cost me money. Mm-hmm. Because, see, it used to be I can go and say I'm going to play in the major leagues now because I done did all I can do in the Japanese league, or I done did in the Dominican Republic. Now the bidding war for me is done, because now you want me to be a part of the draft. Now, if I'm the agent, okay, or if I'm the players union and I'm supposed to be protecting the player, how am I okay with this?
Because you're gonna have equity for everybody, all your players. Right now, American players are not getting the same benefits. Why can't we slot high schoolers? Why can't we slot college players? See, so you're not giving the opportunity for Americans.
But a high schooler, wait a minute, a high schooler is not proven, okay, at the major league level.
Alex Rodriguez, a high schooler. Griffey was a high schooler. So, yeah, I mean, some don't project. Don't wrong, Brother Hank. But most of them, they project those players into major league players if they played high school. But so my point is that slot, well, if you want to say that's too slot, at least a college player should be able to slot, should be able to go where they want to go. And, you know.
Well, no, you're talking about, okay, but you're talking about players that got amateur status. You're talking about high schools got amateur status. You're talking about college kids that got amateur status. That's a whole different conversation. But I'm talking about international professional players. I guess my question to you is, at that level where they are playing major leaguers, you know, just overseas, if you will, and I say I declare to play in the major leagues, I can help a team win a championship this year like a Tanaka or like a Yu Darvish, are you going to tell me now you're going to make me go back into a draft and not start making my money? If I'm an agent of this player, I'm like, hold on. We're not being drafted. We want free agent money. This is what I'm saying.
I would say that too. I mean, again, the NBA delineates that where you have professional players who are, you know, they are minors or so, like Giannis Antetokounmpo or, you know, Dirk Nowitzki or so, who were drafted, who played professional ball, and then they were drafted in a so-called amateur draft, which really is not amateur draft, or someone like Patrick Beverley, for example, played in the G League, and then was able to get drafted second round. So he played pro ball, basically. It was semi-pro, but yeah. So again, like I said, you're giving these international players an advantage that the Americans don't have. So slot everybody, get rid of the draft. I mean, we only had 5 rounds of draft this year, right? They clearly aren't valuing the draft. You're going to get some free agents this year that are going to make the major leagues, I guarantee, when you look down the road. Because there's been too many players who are outside the 5th round who have made major league teams. So those players might get a cash cow. Who knows? But again, I still think international players should not have the benefits or should be bastardizing the system. Because we know these, trust me, we have scouts over there in Cuba. We're hiding out, doing whatever, and they know who the next Jose Abreu is. And as soon as Jose Abreu defects, it's not that they do a workout and they're like, oh, Jose Abreu. They knew this cat was ready to ball when he was over in Cuba. They just had to see him in when he was in Dominican Republic or he moved to outside Cuban soil. Instead of him going to Florida and becoming, if he went to Florida, he'd be eligible for the draft. And so it's just unfair. It's unfair, and all it does is help the bigger teams like the Chicago White Sox and the Texas Rangers have money and extra scouting power, the ability to masterize the system. So keep it even.
And so expand the draft to include international players.
Yeah, and expand the draft. I think it's ridiculous to only have 5 rounds of draft this year. I mean, I know they did it for financial reasons, but that was just not a good look as far as it goes. I really was disappointed in again, but baseball is a hot mess right now. It's a hot mess right now. You're right. Advantageously, people would be back on the diamond and they'd be playing baseball. You're in a vacuum right now. The NBA's got some dissenters they'll play, but some people aren't going to play. But you got baseball, they could reestablish their brand. But again, the owners are playing hardball and the players are playing hardball. I give credit. So you got two tough customers at it, and the owners had the last say because the CBA, as far as instituting a short season. And yeah, again, the short season is going to be bad for baseball, but they're going to still make some money because, again, you and I are going to watch some baseball on TV when it comes on. Because I'll be keeping real with you. I haven't been watching the KBO. I'm not watching that match.
No, I'm not going to watch it either.
It's like spring training, you know?
You don't know the teams, you don't know the players. And I'm sorry, you need to know who you're watching. And that's the fun part of watching the game. You know, that's just the way it is. And unfortunately for baseball, sometimes it just seems like they're almost a decade behind where everybody else needs to be when it comes to being, you know, proactive and progressive in doing some of their things, and which I think is why we talk so much about what's going on with international players. One other question I want to ask before we close up, though, is, you know, this whole concept of the salary cap and the salary floor. Do you see baseball, you know, possibly mimicking or mirroring other sports? For an example, can you see baseball franchising a Mike Trout?
No, no, it won't be. I don't think there'll be a salary cap. There'll be a more share of the money. The players are adamant not having a salary cap. I think it would be great for the game, but again, that's where the owners don't want a salary cap either, because they want to be able to spend as little or as much as they want to. So they're both on the same page with that. I think the things are going to have to change is the Chris Bryant rule, I'd call it. That was obscene what the Cubs did. They sent a guy down who clearly was their best third baseman so they could have an extra year. And really they poisoned that relationship from the get-go. And that young man is not going to sign an extension, and the Cubs are gonna need to trade Chris Bryant, can't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, plus he's got bad shoulder anyway. I'd trade him anyway. He's right, become right. damaged as it is. So that's ridiculous as far as how they – and that's, again, game in the system where and so I think, no, there's not going to be a salary cap. There should be one, because I think it would make baseball, especially for the regional folks, because it's a more regional game, feel like their teams are actually in it, like the NFL and like the NBA feels for the most part, except for incompetent owners like James Dolan or, you know, Michael Jordan or something, you know, who can't own worth of salt. I mean, Mike's the GOAT, but he's one of the worst owners in the league, no question. Charles Wright about that.
Right.
I mean, he's a terrible owner, so horrific owner. So yeah, I think that's what's gonna happen. So I think there should be a salary cap. I don't see it's going to be a salary cap. And the fact that baseball players are honing in and really making these negotiations difficult at a time, like you said, right, where for the good of the game, they should definitely be playing, tells you they understand the long game, and they're not going to have a salary cap, and they'll sit down over salary cap. They'll sit out. So
now the big question: do we have a season?
Yeah,
we have a season, and if we have a season, how many games?
It's going to be 50 games. Sadly, it's going to be a short season. 50 games, and expanding playoffs, and you know. Baseball will lose some goodwill with the fans, but you know, a lot of the hardcore fans like you and me, especially, we're more regional fans. I'm gonna be watching my Cubbies all day. I'm waiting for them to come back. But you know, 50 games will be sad, but again, it is what it is. I mean, that's collective bargaining, brother. They put this provision in for a purpose. So yeah, that's what's gonna be. Because the players are not going to take, and I don't blame them. I wouldn't take a prorated pay cut either, especially in coronavirus, where you catch it and you might not be able to play again. I mean, I was watching the Roy Halladay story, you know, and some of his chronic injuries and related to, you know, his, you know, abuse of opioids and other drugs. And so, you know, you don't know how you treat COVID or what you need to do to get ready, things like that. So I don't blame these players. If I'm putting my butt on line, I'm going to get my money. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. So I'm going to get the contract I negotiated. There was no pandemic clause. They should have put a pandemic clause in there. People knew there could be a pandemic one day. I mean, it's hard. It's hard living through it right now. Yeah, but it's a pandemic right now. I mean, it's a once in 100 years thing. Yeah, it happened in 1918. It's 2020 now. We got a pandemic. So yeah. So they should have thought. I mean, other people who had pandemic insurance. Some of these people had pandemic insurance. Who was it? I think guy who had pandemic insurance was some businesses had pandemic insurance where they were able to get things. I forgot the industry, but yeah, they have pandemic insurance where they're getting paid right now for a pandemic. They were smart enough to put pandemic insurance on there. So yeah, so baseball should have been smart enough to have a pandemic clause.
So they got themselves together when they had Ebola rolling around. But you know what? I really hope they do have a season.
Because they have a season.
Let's hope so, because this is the same sport that canceled their World Series. because of a labor.
That's true, but then they realize how, and then they had to have a steroid. You know, we're going to see. I'm not going
to
lie.
They had to have a performance enhanced season to bring the fans back.
Yeah, to bring the fans back. So, and people don't see steroids anymore. They're not going to see that mess anymore. So, no, I think there'll be a season, and I think that it'll just be shortened, and there'll be another spring training, a little standing spring training, and then we'll get to baseball and probably Arizona or Florida somewhere. And, it'll be a short season. It'll be an asterisk in the season, but we'll see some baseball. And then, you know, some people will like the fact it's a short season. I think it'll be bad for baseball, but then you reset the clock next year, and hopefully we get these kinks out. They're doing pre-posturing now for the CBA coming up. So hopefully this will get the kinks out of that process. We can get a deal going where people know where people stand related to the CBA coming up. So yeah.
And ironically, you mentioned Arizona and Florida, the two states who've now had spikes in
Corona cases.
So,
You have poor, not to get political on this show, but you had, you saw DeSantis couldn't even put a mask on, right? So, I mean, they play politics with this virus, and this virus doesn't play politics. It plays gangster. So the bottom line is that, you got spikes, but they have the necessary protocols, but could there be an outbreak? You saw, not to go off tangent, you saw Carmelo Anthony's the world, Kyrie Irving's, they're worried about it. They're right to be worried, but again, the average person in this country, they want to go to work. They have to go to work. You know, you got people who 40 million people out of work and counting. You have the second wave, at least I'm reading, talking about unemployment, not virus. So it's frightening. In the second wave of evictions, all the eviction moratoriums are coming out, are going to be all the mortgage moratoriums are going to be expiring. So we have a perfect storm as far as economic calamity going on right now. And these players who make millions of dollars, I mean, getting blessed with great talent, don't get me wrong, and great work, but, you know, they're not going to get sympathy from the public. Because they don't want to get the Rona, like Blake Snell said.
Well, you know what? There's going to be plenty to talk about. I'm pretty sure that by the time we come back around here again, something else can happen with baseball that's going to
It might surprise us. Right. It might tie a deal. Who knows?
But maybe by next time, you know, they've kind of ironed out some things, and we'll start talking about the start of the season. We can actually start talking about teams. So we'll see. So until next time, this is Inside the Park with Hammer and Hank. We hope you enjoyed this night's show, and we'll catch you the next time. So that's the ball game for this evening. Please drive home
inside
safe.
The RSV family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just going to jump right into it.